Welcome to the 5-Minute Murder Podcast from 5minutemurder.com, where each week we take a look at a murder, a murderer, an assassination or a serial killer in about 5 minutes. If you enjoy the show and would like to support us, why not consider buying us a coffee? Head on over to 5minutemurder.com/coffee to see how. This is episode 31, The Murder of Mary Ann Nichols. The murder of Mary Ann Nichols on the 31st of August 1888 marked the beginning of one of the most infamous criminal cases in history, the Whitechapel murders attributed to Jack the Ripper. Her brutal killing in the dimly lit streets of Victorian London was the first confirmed murder by the unknown figure who would become one of the world's most notorious serial killers. The discovery of her body in Buck's Row set the stage for a reign of terror that gripped the East End, fueling public hysteria, speculation and intense police investigations that ultimately failed to bring the killer to justice. Mary Ann Nichols, known as Polly, was born on the 26th of August 1845, the daughter of Edward and Caroline Walker. She grew up in a working-class household in London and in 1864 married a printer named William Nichols. The couple had 5 children, but their marriage fell apart, with William accusing her of drunkenness and infidelity. She eventually left her family, falling into a cycle of poverty and homelessness that would define her later years. By 1888, Mary Ann was living in lodging houses in Whitechapel, scraping together money through casual work and, at times, prostitution. On the night of the 30th of August 1888, she had been drinking in and around Spitalfields, moving between lodging houses in an attempt to find a place to stay. She was last seen alive at around 2:30 a.m. on the morning of the 31st of August by a friend, Emily Holland, who had known her from a common lodging house on Thrall Street. Mary Ann was reportedly intoxicated but cheerful, boasting that she had earned enough money for a night's accommodation but had spent it on drink instead. She walked off into the darkness of Whitechapel, unaware that she was about to become the first known victim of a killer who would terrify the city. Her body was discovered at around 3:40 a.m. by Charles Cross, a carman on his way to work. She lay on her back in Buck's Row, a narrow and secluded street in Whitechapel. Another passerby, Robert Paul, arrived shortly after, and together they hesitantly approached the body. At first, they assumed she was simply unconscious, perhaps another unfortunate soul who had succumbed to drink. However, upon closer inspection, they noticed that her skirts were raised and her throat had been violently slashed. Alarmed but uncertain, they hurried to find a police officer. Constable John Neal arrived shortly after and, upon shining his lamp on the body, saw the true extent of the horror. Mary Ann's throat had been cut twice with deep, precise wounds, almost severing her head. Further examination revealed that her abdomen had been savagely mutilated. Blood pooled beneath her in the dim glow of the gaslights, but the scene was eerily quiet. There were no witnesses, no signs of a struggle, and no immediate evidence of who had committed the crime. Dr. Henry Llewellyn was called to the scene and confirmed that she had been dead for approximately 30 minutes, meaning she had been murdered shortly before her body was discovered. He noted the ferocity of the attack, particularly the deep throat wounds, but was struck by the apparent speed and efficiency with which it had been carried out. There was very little blood spatter around the body, leading him to conclude that she had been killed where she was found. The wounds to her abdomen suggested a level of anatomical knowledge, hinting at the possibility that the killer had some surgical or butchering experience. The murder sent shockwaves through Whitechapel, an area already plagued by poverty, crime and vice. The East End was a district of extreme deprivation, where thousands of people lived in overcrowded slums, surviving through casual labour and prostitution. Violence was common, but the sheer brutality of Mary Ann Nichols' murder suggested something different, something far more sinister. It was not a robbery, as no valuables were taken. and the method of killing was far more frenzied than typical domestic or gang-related violence. The police were immediately concerned that this was the work of someone who might strike again. In the days following the murder, newspapers sensationalised the case, playing on public fears and spreading wild theories. The brutal nature of the crime, the mutilations, and the lack of an apparent motive led to widespread speculation that a deranged killer was on the loose. The press quickly latched onto the notion that the murderer could be a doctor, a butcher, or even a foreigner, reflecting the prejudices and anxieties of the time. The police investigation, led by Inspector Frederick Aberline and his colleagues from the Metropolitan Police, faced immense challenges. Whitechapel's maze-like alleyways, dimly lit streets, and transient population made it difficult to track potential suspects. While several people were questioned, there was no firm evidence pointing to any particular individual. There were no reliable witnesses, and forensic science was in its infancy. Offering little in the way of physical evidence, the case quickly became a source of frustration for the authorities. The murder of Mary Ann Nichols did not remain an isolated incident for long. Within days, another woman, Annie Chapman, was found murdered in similar circumstances. Her body was discovered in the backyard of a lodging house in Hanbury Street, with even more severe mutilations. The police and the public soon realised that a serial killer was operating in the area, a figure who would come to be known as Jack the Ripper. As the killings continued, the Ripper's notoriety grew. The authorities were inundated with letters claiming to be from the killer, some of which contained taunts and threats. The most famous, signed Jack the Ripper, helped solidify the murderer's identity in the public imagination. Fear gripped London, and the East End became a place of terror, as women, particularly those working on the streets, feared for their lives. Despite extensive investigations, numerous suspects, and a massive police presence, the identity of Jack the Ripper was never discovered. The murders abruptly ceased after the killing of Mary Jane Kelly in November 1888. Leaving behind a legacy of speculation and mystery. Over the years, countless theories have emerged, with suspects ranging from local butchers and doctors to members of the aristocracy. None have ever been conclusively proven. Mary Ann Nichols, the first confirmed victim, remains a tragic figure in this infamous case. Her life, marked by hardship and struggle, was cut short in the most brutal way, her name forever linked to one of history's greatest unsolved mysteries. The murder of Polly Nichols was not just the start of the Ripper killings. It was a moment that exposed the desperation and dangers of life in Victorian London, highlighting the stark realities faced by the poor and vulnerable. More than a century later, her story continues to be retold, a reminder of the darkness that lurked in the gaslit streets of Whitechapel. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the 5-Minute Murder podcast from 5minutemurder.com. If you did, why not leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts? And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. If you would like to support us more directly, please consider buying us a coffee. Head on over to 5minutemurder.com/coffee to see how. Also, please check out our other 5-Minute podcasts. You will find them all at 5minuteproductions.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.